Previously on Mountain Men, Marty battled treacherous conditions and slim returns in Alaska.
From the moment I get here, I'm thinking, I can only stay a few days. There you go.
With time running out on trapping season, he returned to the Alaskan bush.
I have a duty to get out there and tend these traps. I need to get back.
While Eustace faced his own challenges in North Carolina.
I'm not feeling too good today. I need to push some of this sickness out of me.
Forcing him to conjure up some mountain man ingenuity.
We got a firewood delivery tonight, which we desperately need the money. And I promised the man, you got to be good to my word.
Good boy.
And in Montana, the restless bear population has Tom worried.
We've got bear tracks 50 yards from the house. You got to keep your eyes on them. I mean, you get killed.
Montana Rockies, Tom Orr has returned home after 5 days visiting his brother in Idaho.
Now, get out of here!
During the trip, he decided that he's not ready to stop living the self-sufficient lifestyle that he and his wife Nancy have grown to love.
If anybody tries to take that away from me, it's going to be one hell of a fight, I'll tell you that.
Living off the land is tough, and each day brings a new challenge.
We had a bear in here that tore our pigeon house apart and tore the cage off the front of it. And then he reached in and he grabbed a couple birds and killed them and ate them.
Like Tom, the local grizzlies are having a tough time finding winter food. One particular bear has taken an interest in the Orr's cabin. It returned while Tom was away and caused some havoc.
There's a bear hanging around here real close. You gotta keep your eyes on him. You could get killed.
The bears seem to be getting braver.
The bears are moving. The bears are hungry. I know the grizzlies. They're still out cruising.
During the winter, the Orrs heat their home with wood, meaning someone must constantly stoke the fire. It also means Nancy's home alone a lot throughout the year.
When Tom is away, I'm kind of on a whole different alertness. I depend on him for protection.
We need to be careful because that bear was here, and we don't want the bear to cause a problem for us.
The bears have been far too close for comfort, and an attack on Tom's pigeons has him feeling threatened, so they've called for help.
My name's John. I'm the warden sergeant for Region 1 here. I got the call to come up here and see what's going on with a bear tried to break into his pigeon coop. Tom and Nancy, I mean, they're priority one. And we don't want that bear hanging around here, living in people's backyards. It'll come back unless we kind of teach it not to.
The electric fencing that Tom and Nancy had placed to protect against bears had little effect.
It's like in the middle of the night, he came around here and pushed the window in. And then he reached in and they took the birds off the shelf.
Wow.
Yeah, there's two different sets of bear tracks here.
See, that is a grizzly, though. But let me get a measurement across that paw. And that's looking like 6 inches. That's a pretty big bear.
Yeah.
I'm guessing, looking at that, at a 6-inch, it's 300 to 400 pounds.
300 to 400 pounds?
Yeah.
The only option is to add a higher voltage system and see if that deters the bear.
So, cool, yeah, let me make some phone calls quick for you.
Hey, appreciate you.
Like always, it's always fun in the act.
While Tom tries to protect his property, 2,500 miles southeast in Triplet, North Carolina, the winter's been particularly hard on Eustace Conway.
The winter, the ice, the danger of it slows everything down.
He struggled to provide food for those in his care and fought desperately to keep his land.
It's the craziest thing, very frustrating to have people stealing my land.
But most troubling is the loss of a trusted worker.
I, as a leader, had to realize that I had to make a decision for the greater good of the entire community. And so we had to ask Justin to leave. One too many straws on the camel's back.
Down a man. He's had no choice but to call for help. Luckily, an old friend is pitching in.
My name is Peter, and I'm back at Turtle Island to help Eustace out around the farm and just whatever help Eustace needs. Feels pretty good to be back and to see all the creatures and all the buildings.
Peter lived at Turtle Island for 12 months in 2010.
When Peter first came here, he was just really innocent and didn't know much about a lot of very normal stuff. Sort of like a sheltered child.
At Turtle Island, I fell off a roof. I cut my hand a few times. I chopped myself in the leg with an axe.
Peter still has lots to learn from this place.
I think there's a squirrel coming down. Do you see that? On that right-hand window.
I see him. Yeah.
So I think I'm going to shoot him for supper.
Yeah. When I see Eustace again, I guess the first thing I'm thinking about is what sort of work he's going to ask me to do.
One thing what we're doing here, we're making a shed to cover our firewood so it'll be ready to sell next year. I think maybe we'll head up there and get that going.
Firewood is Eustace's primary source of income. It's what pays his taxes and sustains his lifestyle.
It helps us survive. It's a way to pick up something that's on the ground and make some cash income.
But the elements have taken their toll on Turtle Island, resulting in leaky shelters and wet firewood. Eustace will need to build a new structure in order to protect the wood.
There's so many things that need to be done around here, and with the limited workforce, it's really challenging.
Peter's help will be essential if they want to stay ahead of the rains. While Eustace prepares to build a new shed, 4,300 miles away in Alaska, Marty Maiorato is waiting out another blizzard.
A winter storm warning in effect for the next 72 hours. Lows 45 to 50 below. Travel is not recommended.
You can't fight the weather. You'll lose every time. Today I'm going to what I call the Lion Cabin. It's my farthest cabin out.
Overnight, high winds have thrown a wrench into Marty's plans.
I know I'm going to be dealing with drift. I'm hoping the drift isn't too bad, but anytime you get stuck is a bummer.
I'm going to go through a pretty rough trail today. It'll be a lot more work because I got pretty steep hills and windy trails.
The season has been slow, and Marty's facing a deadline.
Oh, nothing. Boy, it's been a long day with no fur. I'm really surprised I didn't catch anything, because this was a fairly productive line the last time I came around it. There isn't a lot of fur up on that line. That's just something you can't afford.
He has to travel to his other cabin to retrieve the rest of his product, or risk having to sell for no profit after the season is over.
The clock always ticks. I've only got 2 days to get my fur to the shipper. I really want to get my furs in, so I got to get out there.
To try to make up for the slow season, Marty's decided to make one more run to the end of the trap line.
It's a lot of miles. It's probably a 60-mile round trip. So it's going to be a long day.
Just making the run is a huge gamble. There is virtually no margin for error.
If I'm going to get my fur to the shipper, I have to leave the next day.
With daylight dwindling, time isn't on his side.
I'm trying to use this daylight, and then as it starts getting dark, I'm almost panicked. I'm like, I gotta go.
Marty's only 10 miles from the cabin when he encounters a trail that's been blocked by debris from last night's storm.
I'm gonna make a run, see how far I get. Taking it right up through there. It's a pretty steep hill. It's probably 300 yards. I'll try and get the skis over the top of it. Well, I'll make a run and keep going.
With the deadline looming, he's got little choice.
You're just not going to make it up the hill unless you get some speed up. But if you hit a tree doing 20 miles an hour, you're going to break something.
Crap!
Coming up, Tom faces a new danger in Montana.
People have been killed by wolves. When they come onto the property, that's coming a little too close.
And Eustace tries to earn the money he so desperately needs.
I better get to work and get some cash.
Alaska is truly the wildest place in America. Because of the rough country, the residents rely on machines to traverse its emptiness. From bush planes to snowmobiles, men like Marty Maierato are forced to use mechanical tools.
Out on the trap line, there's a lot of challenges. I mean, in the country I go through, whether it's steep hills, too much snow, they're always bad.
The problem is, the state's extreme conditions often make optimal performance impossible.
Crap!
Ugh. If you hit a tree doing 20 miles an hour, then you're stuck.
I'd have made it all the way to the top, but I had a tree, and then I thought I could jump over. It was stupid, because now I got the ski stuck. A tree laying down in the snow, or a stump, something you don't see, something that's going to make you stop dead in your tracks. You're driving along, and everything's good. Before you know what's happening, you're face planted up in front of the machine.
Now Marty has to waste daylight digging out his 480-pound machine.
Well, I better make that set and get this thing turned around.
Oh. Crap!
I got stuck and it slid back. The back of the ski got underneath the log.
Marty spent a lot of energy getting the machine free.
So when I get stuck like this, I mean, the main thing is I don't want to get all sweaty and worked up.
And with limited daylight, he'll have to move quick.
7 minutes a day this time of year, each day is 7 minutes shorter. So you lose it fast.
After 30 minutes of digging, the machine is free.
It's just part of the game. They're walking the tightrope today, but hopefully I'll catch some fur and it'll be all worth it.
Exhausted, Marty has to make it to the top of the hill, and the temperature is dropping.
I started getting more and more tired. It's not that easy just to drive around on a snow machine out in the bush. It's a lot of work. It can wear on you.
Whew.
You ain't having fun unless you're beating the piss out of yourself, right?
Being compromised physically means he must finish checking the traps and get to shelter before the temperature plummets at dark.
Nothing.
I'm kind of under the gun, but the feeding the family is foremost, so I just have to check all the traps.
The urgency of his deadline and darkness are made worse by empty traps.
Not an option. There's always hope. If there's always one more set in front of you, there's always hope.
It's possible that Marty won't hit the deadline.
Once again, everything goes back to whatever nature dishes out for me. That's what I do. A lot of miles today, and no fur.
While Marty struggles, 4,300 miles southeast in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains, Eustace Conway is facing another challenge.
Looks like we got a little snow.
With a lien against his property, finding money for the tax man and lawyers has become paramount.
We barely make it. We barely get by. I don't even know how we survive financially, but we haven't died yet. Yeah. Hopefully somebody will need some firewood, and we'll be able to get some cash and keep paying the taxes and keep on living this way.
Eustace's wood storage barn is full. And with bad weather on its way, he needs to build another shed and get the wood he's already cut stored.
Customers don't want wet firewood. They want dry season firewood. So we need to keep it dry so that it dries and doesn't rot. But if we got daylight, I better get to work and get some things done.
Now that he's got Peter to help with construction, the workload should be more evenly balanced.
What we're doing here, overall vision, is we're making a shed to cover our firewood so the firewood can dry. Ideal thing, if we can get this built before the winter snow buries us all.
With the next snowfall only hours away, Eustace needs to get the shed built quickly, or he risks damaging his investment.
So in building that woodshed, there's a lot of little thought processes. It's so organic that I have to stay ahead of my team, figuring things out. What's next? What's next?
Main thing, Peter, is just don't fall, all right?
Yeah, don't ever want anybody standing around.
He needs this done quickly, so Eustace decides to build the shed with no sides, allowing him to finish faster and get the wood stacked before the weather turns.
The weather is one of the biggest influences there is, and so I'll adjust by the hour.
Up, down, Jesse. Down, 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 down. Good.
Country boy, do what you gotta do. Use it up, wear it out, make it do, ingenuity. Looking good, looking right. Right, yeah. Yep, just start dragging it. Peter, I believe we're ready to stack wood there. We're ready to stack wood there. We're ready to be dry right here. Dry, dry. Man, we are done. Phew! Well, everybody, I really appreciate y'all doing a good job on getting that thing built. We knocked it out right fast. Basically, the job now, hopefully before dark, if we can get that wood in the dry so it doesn't get snowed on or rained on again. Well, let's see what we can do. Oh, yeah, we're finally getting the wood in. It's happening.
We built the woodshed in short order because we had a good team. That work crew just got in there and built it.
I believe that woodshed we built today would probably last for 100 years, and it's going to work really well, service for a long time.
While Eustace is finishing up his preparation for winter, 2,500 miles away in northwest Montana, Tom's still struggling to survive. The area is sparsely inhabited, and making a living here is not a simple task. But Tom Orr chose this life, and he barely gets by. He specializes in a unique trade, even for Montana.
Reckon that's gonna cook that up for you?
Probably a good sausage, it looks like. Huh?
Eastern Diamondback rattlesnake.
Trapping is the way that Tom makes money. He works all the time. And he always has. He's always been a tough guy.
Yep.
Little Charlie.
One of Tom's neighbors, Charlie, has bagged a deer.
Shot it, dragged back to the truck, got a hold of Tom, brought it over, see how he does it for real.
Well, looks like somebody got one. Huh? A little 5-point. That's pretty nice little deer. He'd have been bigger next year, maybe. But he wouldn't be as tender next year as he is this year.
But like most in this area, he's only interested in the meat for his dinner table. Tom will gladly take the rest.
This is really what I do for a living. You know, it's kind of a weird way to try to eke out a living, but we can do it here in the woods.
Tom will skin the deer and use it to make traditional Native American moccasins and clothing to sell to specialty shops.
This is where I get to see a pro doing it. I've never seen it done.
People in the Yak come to Tom to see a master at work.
It's great having Tom here. You know, he does all his stuff primitive type ways.
I mean, look at there. There's a primitive tool. I mean, that's got nothing modern at all in it. I'm doing a lot of the same things as the old trappers out of the past did.
For Tom to skin the deer properly, it takes up to an hour.
How much longer are you going to be able to do this?
How much longer? Another week?
20 years?
Oh, I don't know how long I'll be able to. This is what I got to do to live here, though, and so I'll do this to live here.
The work is arduous and physical.
We've got a good bear attraction here going, I'll tell you that.
What do you do with all this mess here?
Well, we've
Nothing. This is one of the things that we're going to have to live with. It's still going to be an attractant to the grizzlies, I mean, that's for sure. The bears can smell blood and stuff from very long distances. The other night, we had a grizzly come in here and tore a pigeon house apart and ate a couple pigeons.
After the bear broke into the pigeon coop, Tom takes extra care to clean up the skins.
My dog's helping right now. She's getting all the little pieces.
Leaving a part of the carcass exposed could mean he'll face an angry grizzly on his back porch. Tom must clean and preserve the skins to eliminate the natural smells that attract predators.
I've got some flushing to do and scrape and frame, and we got a lot of work to do.
Fleshing releases meat from the hide and scent into the air. This could attract bears that are desperate for food.
And the bears are starving. If they get a reward out of a place, they'll come back and go for it again. Chances are he'll be back. Hell, get out of that bucket.
High in the Montana Rockies, Tom is working hard to catch up. The early winter is making things tough. His work will have to wait because his food supply is low. He has to stock up on meat before things get too cold.
That's pretty fresh.
Tom is running out of time, so he and Will move quickly in hopes of harvesting some food before nightfall.
He's trying to find some trees we could set up again.
Yeah, coming out right now.
There's lots of important things that you have to do to get prepared for the winter time that's coming. If you don't get any meat in, you won't survive.
Tom hasn't even seen many deer this season. Unusual for this time of year.
There's lots of stuff out here that's all going, all living off of one another. You got to keep your eyes on with the grizzly bears and the timber wolves that live here. They're the ones that are on top of the food chain. Well, let's just sit right up here on this hill here somewhere where we can just see. We can see down there.
We ain't got a lot of time.
No, we ain't got much time. We need to get some fresh meat on the table and go. Will's ready to go rattle up a buck for us.
Tom's decided to take a different approach today. He'll be using an old technique called rattling. Rubbing the antlers together mimics the sound of two bucks battling over territory.
I don't know, buddy.
The rattling doesn't seem to be drawing much attention at first.
What the hell was that? Spooky.
The strange noise has both men curious.
When you're hunting, you're listening to identify a movement behind you. Any noise you're listening for. We'd hear this noise, then we'd stop and listen for it, and then it wouldn't happen again. Just a little gust of wind would come up and... It took us a long time to figure out what it was.
Is that a tree?
A squeaky tree maybe blowing in the wind.
It's a real cat-like.
Must have been where one tree had fallen into another tree. Two trees would start squeaking together again.
Once they figure out the source of the noise, they're relieved.
Well, next time.
Well, let's hit the bar, bud. It's about that time.
While Tom and Will continue to search for leads, 5 miles south, Tom's wife Nancy makes a much more frightening discovery.
I wonder if those are wolf tracks. That scares me. Oh, Ellie. Out here, you have to keep an eye on things because there is a threat of wolves, and wolves will kill your dog.
With the presence of wolves, things have just gone from bad to worse.
I feel very threatened by wolves. They are taking over to where it's the most common track you see in the snow.
The ground is frozen over and food is sparse, so wolves will feed on whatever they can get.
They're constantly on the look for the next meal.
2,500 miles away in North Carolina, Eustace Conway is ready to start harvesting more wood to fill his new shed.
I think we'll go out and do a little logging this morning, probably get some locust poles. We'll go up there and just more or less do it by hand and by horse. Good boy. Up on the hillside where the locust grows, a little bit challenging to get to. I think we'll probably take a single horse up there so we can sort of get in some tight spots.
It'd be difficult to get a truck or something else up there, but horse is low impact compared to machinery, which might tear up the whole side of the hill.
Eustace and Peter will be logging in the traditional fashion, using a horse to drag each log off the hillside.
Next thing we're gonna do is hook this up. This is a pretty twisty piece of locust. It's the way people built things before they had paper to write on. They trusted their own judgment and trusted their knowledge of building.
You gotta be careful on a steep bank like this. Moving across the holler could be the death of you.
Eustace and Peter need to keep the horse calm, or it could cause severe injury.
This is a dangerous situation.
Did it break or come off?
Yep. And come up, boy. Go ahead.
Wait, wait.
Horses are among Eustace's most valuable commodities, meaning he cannot afford to have them hurt or injured.
Yeah, this is a kind of a challenging spot to be in here across the ravine. This is probably a good chance he can't pull that out of there. And I don't want him to roll off in that hill and get broken leg, but just try to keep him right there. So that left and right hand there. You think you can hold on to him?
I'll hold him if you think.
If I think you can.
If you think I can.
But as is often the case in the mountains, things change very quickly.
Just try to keep him right there. He didn't even realize that he didn't really know how to hold and manage that horse.
Peter made a common mistake.
The horse turns towards me and I lose contact with him on the lines.
You better do something. Just hold his head there a minute. Just hold his head off. There's more to it than it looks like, isn't there?
It's obvious he let the horse move.
It's really all just common sense, but unfortunately, common sense just isn't that common anymore. And come up, boy.
By loosening the reins, the horse's instinct to flee took over, but the crisis was averted when Eustace took control.
It's important when you're working as a team to be able to cover your job and your responsibility, and Peter's just learning those jobs, and maybe I trusted him more than I should have.
Peter is lucky. If the horse had broken its leg, Eustace would have had no choice but to put it down. No matter how much he needs the money, continuing to log here would be too great a risk.
All right, Peter, I think we'll call that the last log. That's a good day. We'll leave this here until we come back for the building materials and the firewood.
Cool.
And come up, boys. I don't mind doing more than the average person, but I'm doing, like, way more than that. So you're always working on a lot of things because there's so many things that need to be done.
Coming up, Marty struggles to get to his line cabin, but with the weather turning bad, it doesn't look promising.
If I don't get my furs in tomorrow, I'll miss the shipping date.
While food shortages are causing concern in North Carolina.
When you get ready to take a shot, it has to be total focus.
High above the Arctic Circle in Alaska, the weather is highly unpredictable. A winter storm can last up to 5 days, passing over certain areas multiple times before moving off towards Canada.
I'm watching the weather as close as I can, you know, trying to stay warm and trying to be so careful not to get cold.
Marty does his best to prepare for this type of weather. It's almost impossible to predict.
First thing I think about is how far I have to go.
If I'm halfway in between and I do run out of light, I screwed up. That's just something you can't afford to do.
The question now is, can he get his furs back to the buyer in time?
I've got to keep going because of my time constraints. The wind came up a little bit. It always does when a Chinook like this blows in. So hopefully there won't be too much drift in the trail.
And what happens to my trail is it goes away. It fills in with snow as it blows, and you can't see even where it was.
Despite the terrible conditions, Marty is able to reach safety.
Ah, home sweet home. Whenever you're in a long run, especially when it's cold like that, seeing that cabin gives you a warm fuzzy all over, because you're finally going to be warm.
It's bath night tonight, so I got a bunch of water. Get all the old pancakes and syrups out of the beard.
You're going to get smelling too pretty, though, or all the critters will chase you home. It don't get much better than this. Ah.
Now all Marty can do is try to get some sleep and pray that the weather breaks by morning.
And for today's forecast, winds out of the northwest will bring strong gale force winds causing whiteout conditions, and travel is not recommended.
This is impossible flying weather. If I don't get my furs in tomorrow, I'll miss the shipping date.
With the deadline looming, he's got little choice.
I'm gonna head out and hopefully get back to main cabin.
First, Marty must pack his furs.
So they're all bagged up, and that'll be it.
Bear gets in here, which certainly can happen. You can kind of protect it a little better. Hope my little forest friends will be kind to me. Just like that.
You put everything in squirrel-proof containers so that they don't chew stuff up. Nothing worse than finding a rotten mouse carcass or something on your dishes when you come the next year. All right, so now I can head outside.
Since he'll be leaving the cabin for a while, he needs to make sure he protects it from the elements and predators.
I'm gonna close this cabin down, and I'll board this place up for the year.
Marty must make it back to his main cabin and then hope the weather will let him fly.
I have tomorrow. That's it. And then it's too late. I'll miss the final shipping date. Weather's your nemesis. It's what you're always battling in the flying game.
The weather report is bleak, but with the Arctic Circle's unpredictable weather patterns, sometimes you get lucky. While Marty deals with winter's worst, 4,300 miles southeast in North Carolina's Blue Ridge Mountains, Eustace is dealing with a major food shortage.
I'm gonna go out and get the deer.
Meat is an important part of our diet. In the middle of the winter, it's hard to be vegetarian.
My goal is just to survive.
Just over a week ago, Eustace thought he'd finally bagged enough protein that he needs to survive the winter. But a poorly sighted gun allowed the deer to escape.
I cannot believe it. That's crazy. I've never had that gun misfire.
But this time, Eustace is pulling out all the stops.
I've got to get a deer today.
It's like ghillie suit. Makes you invisible.
I'm going to camouflage most of my face. I just cut the finger and the thumb out of there, my trigger finger. So now I'm fairly invisible. Let's see if we can go find a deer.
Eustace Eustace heads for his new deer stand, hoping the new location will help.
But I'm gonna climb up there and just sort of see what it looks like. It's a nice view, I'll tell you what.
Now that the leaves are off, you can really see out of this thing.
It would be good if this was just a few inches higher and make a steadier rest. I'd have to put one more board on here and make it easier to rest the rifle for a long distance shot. Oh, here comes a deer. Oh, I can make meat. Yeah, that's a tender meat right there.
When you get ready to take a shot, it has to be total focus.
He's behind the trees, but I'll wait till he gets just right. Oh, yeah.
Struggles to make it back to his plane and fly.
I've only got a few hours, and if it takes me longer than that, then I won't be able to fly.
Long ways to go yet.
And in Montana, Tom tries to protect his property.
Yeah, these look like they could be wolf tracks.
Winter's early arrival in Montana has been tough on Tom and Nancy Orr.
We need to get some fresh meat on the table.
Despite weeks of trying, Tom has been unable to find enough protein to sustain them through the winter.
Hi.
Catch nothing.
Okay.
The lack of food has also made the local grizzlies more aggressive. One bear in particular has taken an interest in their cabin and broken into a pigeon coop on the property. Now Nancy thinks other predators might also be stalking the area.
I saw some tracks that I'm not sure if they're wolf tracks or what.
Wolf tracks? It's right here.
Yeah, I need you to look because...
That's all we need is wolves around here.
Uh-uh. They'll eat my dog.
Well, I've heard a couple stories of people that have been killed by wolves in the last year or so. Every one of them has jaws that can break a moose leg bone. They could kill you. Where are they at?
Close to the house.
Wolves are as dangerous as bears because they hunt in packs. This means that the most threatening situation is usually the one you don't see.
Yeah, these look like they could be wolf tracks.
Well, I wondered. They're big.
Oh, look at there's. You can see the toe print right there.
If there are wolves on his property, Tom will need to arm himself and try to drive them higher into the mountains.
It sure looks like wolf. I don't know. You can get a well up here and go check them out, track it out.
When the wolves are getting too close to your home, it's a creepy feeling.
Let's do this. I like them. I don't want to kill them all. I don't want them out of here. I just want to keep a lid on them. You know, I want them to be afraid.
When Tom sees wolf tracks, I'm sure it just gets his blood rolling.
There's going to be wolves here. But when they come onto the property, that's coming a little too close. And we just want to put the fear of man in them.
While Tom and Nancy try to deal with winter's latest challenge, 2,500 miles northwest in Alaska, Marty has taken advantage of a break in the weather by making a last-minute run to some of his traps on his return to main cabin.
Nothing. If there's not any fur there, there's no use trapping it.
Well, daylight's wasting. I gotta keep moving. Wish the trails were better.
But the storm has made getting around difficult.
I gotta break trail the whole way, so it's probably gonna be kind of tough to get to. The issue is where the trail is and where the trail isn't.
Marty must constantly evaluate risk.
It's almost like being on this tightrope. You're balancing, trying to stay up on this hard trail.
With daylight limited, just being in the wild becomes even more perilous.
You got to be real careful not to get hurt out here. You're not going to pick up the phone and say, hey, I'm hurt. You don't have that to fall back on.
Oh, an injury at this point could jeopardize all the work he's done this winter.
You can only do what nature will allow you to do. This whole bush living, it's inherently riskier than working at the donut factory. The machine's going to want to tip over every chance it can. I still got to keep doing it. Mother Nature will get you.
Every minute, Marty is losing time to make the flight home and meet his fur deadline.
If I don't get my furs in tomorrow, it's too late. I'll miss the final shipping date.
He checks and removes the last of his traps. No luck.
Long ways to go yet.
Marty's only made it 12 miles, and he still has 18 miles to go.
I've only got a few hours, and if it takes me longer than that, then I won't be able to fly because I have to have at least 3-4 hours flying time.
In the best of conditions, Marty can only travel at 20 miles per hour, but the deep snow has slowed him down to 10. Marty's running out of time, and he risks losing all his potential income.
I'm never going to get there. It's too far away. When you're in that moment, you're scared shitless, but if there's any little break that looks like I might get out, I might get out. I'm taking care of my family. I have a duty and a responsibility.
4,300 miles southeast in North Carolina, Eustace Conway might have finally been able to find enough protein to feed the 8 people at Turtle Island.
Oh, here comes a deer. Oh, I can make it.
Oh, yeah.
Eustace's aim is true. This deer will allow him to sustain the group at Turtle Island for the rest of the winter.
Okay, let's try now. Oh, yeah. Oh, what a red streak. He just took a few steps. That's the way I like for him to drop right there. That's a little one, a young one, a tender one, a dead one, and he's mine. Thank you, dear. Thank you, little one.
Eustace has a connection to all the creatures of the land.
The deer and I are one.
By using an old Native American ritual, Eustace pays his respect to the animal.
Yeah, so you see my face is painted. That's part of a ceremony. What I'm doing here is showing that I'm connected to the deer with its very blood. We bond and blend together. Home sweet home.
Now that the food has been taken care of for Turtle Island, Eustace can focus on his continued fight to protect his land.
These mountains are my life. This land is my life.
Next time on Mountain Men, Tom tries to drive the predators stalking his cabin higher into the mountains.
Did you hear the howl?
And Eustace is cursed with problems.
It went off.
We have no power being made.
Making it harder for him to pay off the lien on his land.
And that's our water. That's where our life comes from.